Genesis 24, the Bible says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" Abraham said unto him, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me that I and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again." And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had known any man, known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher to the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down to his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there were set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house, to my kindred, take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife from my son, and of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulders and said, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face, and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way, to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Very powerful scripture, finding a bride for Isaac. Let's pray, and then we'll unpack and explain what God is doing in this amazing chapter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word that is powerful, it's captivating, the truth that we see in ages past of your faithfulness and the application we can make for us, that you're still the same faithful God today, and that your purposes, your plans cannot fail. Help us to learn how to be faithful and obedient and submissive to your plan. Would you help us as we look to your word, speak to us in a special way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you couldn't tell, Genesis 24 is the longest chapter in Genesis. I did think it'd be a blessing to read through it in its entirety. It's one of the longest chapters in the whole Bible, and it records the marriage here of Isaac and Rebekah. A very special scenario. In this account, we see a beautiful picture of courtship, marriage in the ancient world. I know that we can easily look at this today in 2023 lenses and be like, wait a minute, how in the world is this happening? That's the way they did things back in those days and arranged marriages and that type of thing. And it still goes on in some parts of the world even today. I will say this, it's not scientific, but it seems to me the way marriages are done in the West, you see more marriages failing in the West than you do in some of these countries that have these customs of arranged marriages. So I once was talking to someone about that. Why is that so? That you have people that, well, we date and we make our decision. Parents have nothing to do with it. Versus completely parents are the ones that arrange it. And they seem to not get divorced as frequently. And how do you explain it? I think in those cultures, there's a deeper understanding of what love is. That it's not just physical beauty or infatuation. It's commitment. That even before they meet the person, they're already committed. That we're gonna build a life together, and we're gonna build something that's gonna last together. I think that's really important for us to take away, even though we don't necessarily do things the same way today. But Genesis 24 is not just a chapter about marriage, dating, courtship. It's a chapter about God's promises, the will of God unfolding. And you think about God's plans for Abraham. That he was going to prepare Abraham, a people for him, the Israelites. And so he had a son, Isaac. And guess what? Isaac had to start making some babies. Amen. Isaac had to start getting married and the seed had to start growing. And so in some sense, we could say, well, this the will of God was for Isaac to get a wife, was for the nation of Israel to start building, developing, being fruitful, multiplying. That's God's will. But then the human side of it, there had to be decisions made. Steps of faith taken. And it's just what we see throughout the entire Bible, that God has a will, a purpose, but we must by faith step into that and obey God and do what's right. And Abraham, especially Abraham's servant, have a huge part in fulfilling God's will. We see a lesson on the providence of God. Nothing here is by accident. God is the one behind the scenes orchestrating all of it. We're reminded of how God answers prayer in a very specific and definite way. I believe that's why we're here tonight, for prayer time. And God hears and he answers specific prayers. So let's take a look at what's happening in Genesis 24. Number one, Abraham's instructions. It tells us that Abraham was the one that started things off here. He sends out his servant to find a bride for his son. And according to ancient custom, he has his servant take a solemn oath by putting his hand under his thigh. That was how they had a very serious oath. And what this is letting us know, and Abraham's comments also let us know that this was a big deal for Abraham. This was not a light decision. Marriage is never a light decision. We shouldn't treat it like it's haphazard or light. You know, I remember years ago when I was a teenager, Kim Kardashian got married for like 10 days or something like that. And it's like marriage is a mockery today. It's just something that's trendy. You get a lot of people to show up, get a lot of money, and then you divorce a few weeks later. No big deal. And that's not the way they treated marriage in those days. This was very serious. Abraham also represents godly parents who don't want to see their children marry ungodly people. They don't want to see their children marry the wrong ones. And in Abraham's description here, what he's saying essentially is he can't find a bride here in Canaan. They're pagans. They don't worship the true and living God. He needs to go back to my homeland and marry one of my people who do know God. And we're going to see in this passage that his family did know Jehovah God. They did know the Lord. So Abraham was very wise in his boundaries that he set for Isaac here. That, listen, he needs to marry the right woman. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? We often quote the scripture warning people about, hey, you're getting ready for marriage, for coming together. It better not be an unequal yoke. It's not going to work. And Isaac and Abraham are here setting that tone with his instructions. And in this, again, we learn a lot of principles about courtship. Again, it's in the ancient world, but I think there's a tremendous amount of application that we can talk about tonight. I think that today, the dating culture, as I see it, I'm totally opposed to it. I'll just be honest with you. I was at a family function Friday, and I was talking to an old friend I hadn't seen in a long time, and mid-30s and still single, and telling me how it's really a crazy time right now. That the world says you're supposed to meet on Tinder, you find some app, you go out for dinner, you hook up, and then you just keep swiping and finding all these people, hook up with as many people as possible, and hopefully one day that person you hook up with will be your husband or your wife. That's absolute garbage. I hope any young person tonight thinking about getting married, you're not following the worldly trends for dating. A lot of the trends for dating, the idea is parents need to stay out, and you find someone, you give your heart to them, you even maybe get physical with them, and then the last step is you introduce them to your parents. And then your parents meet them, and they have years of discernment, wisdom, life experience, and they see in this person, you know what, they may not be the right one, but it might be a little bit hard at that point, isn't it? You've already committed to someone, you've already been physical with them in many cases, intimate, and now your mom and dad don't approve. I think it's far better, instead of parents being at the end of the equation, parents should be at the beginning of the equation. All right, we don't have arranged marriages today, but I do think there's a biblical principle here that if you have godly parents, you ought to lean on them for wisdom, for counsel, for direction. I think today a good pattern is if a young man is courting a young lady, you need to seek that young lady's father's permission. You need to call him, talk to him, and say, hey, I'm interested in your daughter, and explain your intentions. I think that's a great thing to do. And parents are not just left, well, I have no idea what's happening. And parents can speak into it, give wisdom, pray, and give some guidance. I think that there should be parental involvement. I think that there should be seeking of permission. And then God can be blessed in that scenario. In Isaac's case, his father sends out the servant. You know, the servant can represent so many things. There's so many applications, and we're going to talk more about the servant in a moment. But the servant ultimately is just a tool. The key is Rebecca had to be of the right character, and of course Isaac did too, for their marriage to come and be a success. And Isaac is the son of the promise. And Abraham is very clear that Isaac is supposed to stay here, and the servant is supposed to be the one that goes to bring the girl to him. There's a reason for that. The reason is that for Abraham, it was so significant that this was the promised land. This was the territory God had given to them. And when you study the Old Testament, Isaac never left the promised land. It's a great testimony. Isaac lived his entire life there in the land God promised. And Abraham wanted to solidify that. This is our home. This is the home God's promised to us. And that's the reason why he wanted the servant to go and find the wife bring to Isaac. There's also a beautiful picture of the gospel here. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, too. There's a beautiful picture of how Christ is the bridegroom who saves us from our sins. And one day we're going to be called up to be with him in heaven at the rapture. And a beautiful picture of that even in this chapter. But Abraham's instructions, very important. I think if there's parents here tonight, maybe you still have a young person at home that's praying about marriage. You can be like Abraham and really pray and be serious about it and start talking to them. I know some of these conversations people don't like to have sometimes. They say there's two things that parents don't talk to their kids about, and they should: money and sexuality. And the reality is the world is talking to them about it. You better believe it. The devil's talking to them about it. Why can't godly parents speak into it, give counsel, and give wisdom? And Abraham here gives very clear instructions for his son Isaac. But then number two, let's talk about the servant. The servant here takes up much of the narrative, actually. And the servant's attitude and obedient action is a great example for us as Christians, because we are called to be servants. This is a great example of how we should serve the Lord. You can sense his willingness. You can sense his heart in it, his passion and his humbleness, his humility also in this task. And like a servant, he takes a task that was given, but he makes it his own, doesn't he? It's almost like it's life or death for him. And that's the way it should be for us. The cause of Christ is not just, well, it's something that the pastor does or other people do. No, it's for me. It's a task for me that I need to build my life around. And this servant here is so willing, and it's very noteworthy. Abraham sends him, and he goes, the Bible says, to the city of Nahor. And that is Abraham's home area, likely Ur, but the city is named, known for his grandfather, was also named Nahor. And he travels with a big group here, a large caravan of camels and other servants, likely. And as he arrives at Abraham's ancestral city, remember, it's the Middle East, it's a desert. By the way, it's about a 500-mile journey. They're tired and they're very thirsty. They're thirsty and the camels are thirsty. And he has a practical concern that they're going to need to find water. And he has a spiritual concern that he's going to ask God to use this circumstance to give him confirmation, to give him guidance. And in this, we learn a little bit about biblical decision making and being a spiritual decision maker. I don't think that we should only look at circumstances in a vacuum. I know you can go too far with that. Everything's a sign. Everything, you know, I saw a red light. That means I should stop dating the person I'm dating or whatever the case is. You can go too far with that. But you can look at circumstances and other things God does, maybe godly people in your life, your Bible reading, your prayer time with God. This man was praying constantly. You can tell he had a close walk with God. And that's what enabled him to make his decisions. And here he's on this unusual errand, looking for a wife for his master's son. And if you skip down to Genesis 24 and verse 14, it says, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." He knew he needed to pray. He needed guidance. And so we pray that God would confirm this decision in a very specific way, very specific prayer. W.H. Griffith Thomas said, "He seeks to know the road and then asks for power to walk along it. He requests opportunities and then grace to use them. There is scarcely anything more touching and beautiful than this prayer, especially in its emphasis upon his master and his desire that God would show kindness to Abraham." Put yourself in this servant's shoes. In fact, many of us feel like this all the time. Have you ever been given a task that's incredibly difficult, maybe in your eyes impossible? How in the world am I supposed to do this? Listen, if you don't look at the roles you have, if you're a husband, father, if you're a leader, I mean, that's literally, if you look at what the Bible defines, that's an impossible task on your own. But with the power of God, we can do all things, amen, through Christ, which strengthens us. And this servant knew, this is beyond me. How can I find a wife for the Son of Promise? He represents so much in the plan of God, and it's up to me to make sure it goes on. In a sense, that's what it comes down to, right? And so he prays. He seeks God's favor, God's guidance, a great lesson for us. And so if you're ever in this servant's shoes, do what this servant did. Stop and pray. Just stop and pray. The weight of the world is not just on your shoulders. Leave it with the Lord. And he prays this very specific prayer here. And he didn't know it yet, but the prayer was going to be answered just before he was even done praying. And he didn't even realize it, but in time, everything that he was looking for would be proven to him, that the woman who would come to give water to him and his camels would be Rebecca, that is kin to Abraham. He had no idea exactly what was coming, but he prayed for it. The Bible says that Abraham's servant here, who gives this prayer, is seeking God's guidance. If you look at verse number 15, it says, "And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's father, with her pitcher upon her shoulder." So eventually they have this interaction, and he's looking for not only a beautiful woman, amen, that's important, amen, but he wants a woman that is going to show character. I believe that's kind of the essence of this prayer, that she'll see a need and desire to meet that need. Oh, that's a great quality, not just in a wife, but in any spouse. That someone that's thoughtful, someone that is willing to help, willing to get their hands dirty, so to speak. You know, so many times we make everything about looks, and Rebecca was a beautiful woman. The Bible says she was beautiful. One of the few women in the Bible that specifically lets us know her beauty. But it wasn't just physical, it was inward beauty as well. She had good moral character. And the servant wanted to make sure of it with this test. And certainly she comes and she fulfills everything the servant is praying for. He prays that she would offer water to him and to his camels, and that's exactly what she does. And the servant then begins to offer some gifts and explain the purpose of what he's coming. And Rebecca brings them to her family's home as a guest. Let's skip down to verse 28. It says, "The damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things." And then the servant begins to ask, "Well, tell me about your family." He asks about her family, only to find out that she is related to Abraham. Just put yourself in this servant. At one point, maybe even discouraged. "I don't think I can get this done." Scared, nervous, feeling overwhelmed. And now inside, can you hear the ding, ding, ding? Jackpot, here we go. She's given the water. She's related to Abraham. Lord, you're doing it. And several times throughout this passage, what does he stop to do? He worships God. He stops to worship God because he knows it's not me. It's God. It's the Lord. It's God working out his plan through him. But ultimately, it's God. And he's probably trying to keep a straight face. He's a noble servant, after all. But inside, he's probably jumping for joy. He's probably leaping inside as he has this conversation. And he offers and explains the purpose of his mission to Rebecca's family, especially her brother. And in verse, let's skip down to verse 26. Verse 26 says, "And a man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren.'" He saw God's hand directing him. And I love that phrase, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." You know, someone said this, "It's hard to steer a parked car." How does the leading of God work? So often, sometimes we think, we just pray and just sit still and just wait for the answer to just drop in our laps. It's supposed to just fall from heaven. It's supposed to just be almost like by accident. You know, there's a lot of work involved here. He did a lot of traveling. It was weary. There's a lot of physical labor intensive. But he also understood that there was a divine energy behind all of that just the same. It's like this. God's plan is for you to feed your family and pay your bills. Amen. But it's through a four-letter word, work. You got to go get a job and work a lot of hours, especially here in New York. Amen. And so, but yet there's a grace that God also gives in that. And so the leading of God means that as I work, God leads and directs and provides and blesses and multiplies. And he understood that as he was working, God was actually doing the work behind the scenes. If we want to be guided by the Lord, we should be on the way just as this servant. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And the servant, when the bride here is apparent that it's going to be Rebecca, he offers a tremendous amount of riches to her, to the family. And this was a sign of generosity. It was also a sign of the wealth. This is what Rebecca will marry into. This is the family that she's marrying into, someone who's blessed of God, whose God's hand is upon. This is what she will be receiving. And it was a generous sign that this servant did with this interaction. And so we see Abraham, the servant, but then thirdly, let's consider Rebecca herself. Rebecca and her response. Now, again, we know that Rebecca was a beautiful woman. She was a fair woman, but yet her beauty was both inside and out. And that's something that our culture needs to keep in mind, that beauty is only skin deep. It's in the eye of the beholder. And you better find a real inner beauty in your spouse. You know, something happens after you get married. You get older. Amen. You start to put on some pounds sometimes. I try my best to keep it off. But if you're just concerned about the physical, that's not going to last very long. Listen, I think we should be physically attracted to our spouses. It's good to take care of ourselves. You know, I know the ladies in our church, you want to take care of yourself, look nice. And I know the men want to look sharp too. But it's not just physical. There ought to be a real inner beauty to you. There ought to be a character. There ought to be something there that lasts beyond just physical beauty. And so clearly Rebecca had that. And as Rebecca sees the servant and sees them in thirst and she sees all the camels, she stops to give them water. Now think about this. That's not an easy thing to do, especially if you weren't even planning on it. She sees these camels, and camels, it said, they drank 5 gallons of water. They can drink in one sitting 5 gallons of water. Some of you have teenagers, you say, yeah, they do that too at home too. They drink me out of the house and home. But after a long trip like this, to feed, it had to take hours to do this, to get the well, to set it up, to do everything that she was doing. It took a lot of time, a lot of hard work. And Rebecca showed she's not afraid of hard work, not afraid to get her hands dirty. And show that she was not only very fair, but she was also very strong. The father of Rebecca, the Bible says, is Bethuel. But when you look at the story, it's her brother that actually takes the lead to represent the family. The father is still alive, but Laban there represents the family and leads the negotiations, shall we say, with Abraham's servants. If we skip to verse 50, look at verse 50. It says, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, here we go again, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebecca. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. It is a good lesson there. For young men, you want to win a girl's heart, win her family too. Amen. And he understood this was a dowry. This was a common thing to do. Again, you're giving a gift to the family. And it's also almost proving that this is how I'll also take care of your daughter. Don't worry, she'll be in good hands. And I always think about that. My father-in-law is in heaven now, but I often think that, you know, I took my wife from a loving father, and I want to make sure I take care of her out of respect to him and also to my wife also. And now that I'm a dad, I have a daughter, you start thinking about these things you never thought before. That one day some young punk is just going to walk in my door, and he's not going to have a clue, and I'm supposed to give him permission. He better come with a nice gift, I'll just say that. But seriously, you start realizing the significance of what marriage is and what's going to be taking place next. And so Rebecca here is given all these gifts and her family. And then they ask her, eventually it just comes to her decision, do you want to go right now, right here, right now? And she says, really in faith, I will go. I will go. And she departs immediately. And we read from verse 61 to verse 67 that Rebekah is brought unto Isaac and they get married. Now, the Bible just mentions it matter-of-factly, but there's a lot of romance here. You gotta use your imagination. Isaac goes out to meditate. I mean, he's just, you know, she loves me, she loves me not. I wonder if she's coming today. And he's deep in prayer and fasting, a good thing to be praying about. And Rebecca sees a handsome, striking figure. Says, who is that? And that's going to be your husband. And she's excited as well, of course. And the Bible says in verse 66, look at verse 64. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Notice what she does. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. She showed here submission in that action. Now, and that represents submission in that culture. And also modesty and chastity. Purity. The world is so opposite. It tells our young girls, you got to flaunt it. That's how you get a man. You got to reveal it. Don't cover it up. And she does the opposite. And that's what's attractive. She does the opposite to cover herself, showing her submission, her purity. And the Bible says in verse 66, a servant told Isaac all the things he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen. We're so thankful how God brought them together. And those of y'all that are married tonight can say amen that God brought you and your spouse together. And you should strive to build a life together that honors the Lord, that you keep God first, and that you realize God's hand is continuing to use us, to lead us and to guide us. And marriage, of course, is not just about the wedding day. It's a lifetime of commitment to one another. Well, I mentioned earlier that in this passage, it's a beautiful picture of the gospel. Many Bible teachers have noted that it's a picture and type of our relationship with Christ. Abraham is a type of a certain king who would make a marriage for his son. The father has one purpose in this chapter, to seek a bride for his son. The unnamed servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak concerning himself, but wants to give attention to the Son. He, just as the Holy Spirit, according to John 15:26, came to testify only of Christ. Abraham's servant came not to talk about himself, but to testify of Isaac. W.H. Griffith Thomas says, how wonderfully the servant proclaimed the vast resources of the Father and the glory of the Son. Hey, when we get saved, we are poor and bankrupt spiritually. But when we get married, now we have all the riches of Christ. Now we have a wonderful inheritance that's ours because of our relationship with Christ. The servant is a type of the Holy Spirit who enriches the bride with the bridegroom's gifts. The unnamed servant brings Rebekah to Isaac. Do you think about that? Isaac didn't go to Rebekah. Rebekah was brought to Isaac. The Holy Spirit brings the bride of Christ to meet the bridegroom at the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Rebekah is a picture of the church called out to go and live and be with her bride forevermore. The called out virgin bride of Christ. And then think about this in Genesis 24, verse 58. We mentioned this before. It says that they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" She had to make a decision here. And thankfully, she said, "I will go." That's the offer that Jesus gives. Will you go? And sinners must respond, "I will go." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you for your word and for the wonderful truth that it gives and the example of your servants like Abraham and Isaac and even Abraham's servant here. What a great testimony of submission, faith, obedience. I pray that you would cultivate that in all of our hearts. We certainly want to thank you for the gospel and the salvation that you provide for us and the picture of that even in this story. Help us to be willing to share it with those who need it. And may we continue to worship you and thank you for all that you've done for us.